Hello and welcome to this message from Charter Oak Church. It's the first week of the series 3, and today's focus is 3 minutes. We underestimate the power of 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, we can be a tremendous encouragement to someone, or we can blow up our lives. In 3 minutes, we can find the courage to persevere, or we can give up. What could happen in your life in 3 minutes? Here's your campus pastor.
Ever tried to take off a mask with a microphone on, but I have so much more admiration for what Pastor John does every week.
That's the hardest part of the job, Darcy.
Oh, it's all easy from here then. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If you are a first-time guest with us, or if you consider us your home church, or if you're somewhere in between, if you're in the building, if you're online, we are grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us this morning. If you were with us last week, you remember that we talked about the question, why 3 days? We looked at why God, who is all-powerful, chose not to defeat sin and death in an instant or a couple hours or a day, but he took 3 days. And why was it that Jesus died on Friday, stayed in the tomb on Saturday, and rose again on Sunday? And we took a look at some of the significances of each of those days and how that might apply to our own lives. The number 3 is really important in the Bible. So what we're going to do is we're going to follow the next 3 weeks with a series of 3 sermons on the significance of 3 and what God can do in our lives in 3 minutes, 3 days, or 3 years. We're going to get practical. We're going to look at how do we take what God is doing in us and live it out in our Christian lives every day. We also want to be very biblical about this. We want to bring to you some biblical facts. Every week we'll bring you 3 biblical facts that contain the number 3 in them. I don't know if you're sensing a theme here. I actually chose to wear 3 colors today just to go along with all of it. But let's take a look at those 3 facts for today. So 3 facts about 3 from the Bible. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for, this is the interactive part, that's good. The Magi brought how many gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And Jesus struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 times. So these are all significant moments in the Bible. You know, Jonah was running away from God. God had asked him to go tell some people that Jonah didn't particularly care for about how to have a relationship with God, and Jonah didn't want to do it. And it took 3 days of being inside, smelly, slimy, stinky fish, for him to change his mind. Now, I can be kind of stubborn when I don't want to do what God tells me to do, but I certainly don't want to spend any time at all inside a fish. When you think about the Magi, it's kind of humbling. Here are a group of guys who weren't Jews, but yet decided to travel a far distance, following nothing but a star and a prophecy, believing that through faith they were bringing gifts to the promised Messiah. Now, there are significances to each of the gifts, and we're not going to go into that today, but remember that they brought 3. And finally, if you were here with us on Good Friday, you remember we read about the 3 times that Jesus went and talked to God about getting his will aligned with God's about what was going to happen. He brought with him how many disciples? 3. Okay, good. Somebody's paying attention. That's awesome. Peter, James, and John. And he spoke with them 3 times about what he was going through. Numbers have a significance in the Bible, and 3 really stands out. In the Hebrew, the word for 3 means harmony, new life, and completeness. And in the NIV translation, it appears in the Bible 467 times. Now, to put that in context, love beats it out. It shows up actually 551 times. But faith is only there 458, and hope is only in there 167. So today, we want to take a look at what can happen in your life and in my life in just 3 minutes. If you think about it, some really significant things can happen in 3 minutes, but too many times I think we focus on the big things. You know, the life crises, the miracles, those huge events. And we think that's where, you know, our Christianity is lived out. And we focus so much on the big things that we forget about what significance can happen in a short amount of time. Say, for example, 3 minutes. So I want to argue today that a lot can happen in 3 minutes, and it can be significant. We also want to do this from a biblical foundation. If we aren't rooting our lives in God's word, then we are like a rudderless ship. We can be blown to and fro with wherever the winds of culture are taking us. But as Christians, we can stand firm in the foundation of God's word and lead, guide, and direct, and protect as we take ownership of our faith in Jesus. So if you'll take your Bible, today we're going to be in Galatians 6. And just to warn you, my goal today is to get you to want to be a do-gooder. Now, that phrase sometimes has negative connotations, right? Oh, he's such a do-gooder. I'm here to tell you it's not. I want you to want to be a do-gooder. As a matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and repeat after me? I want to be a do-gooder. Oh, you guys are great. I love it. All right, so let's take a look at what God has to say through Paul and his letter to the Galatians in chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but I've got 3 points today. Okay, for those of you at home who cannot hear the teenage group, they're awesome. And I want to point out that there are 3 of them sitting right there. I didn't plan that. So, doing good for the sake of the gospel. What? Now, Paul's writing a letter here, and he says, don't grow weary. Why do we grow weary? In Galatians 6, verse 9, he says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Have you noticed the remarkable capacity human beings have for getting bored with things and growing weary? I don't think cell phones are helping that at all. If you're here and you're a teenager, or if you're at home and you're a teenager, I want you to imagine the unbearable horror of being stuck somewhere without your phone for 3 whole minutes. And if you're an adult, you can probably empathize with that. But even in other things, you know, we can get bored with like really wonderful things. I mean, think about going on vacation. Going on vacation to the beach. Ha! Ah, it's wonderful. You get to get there and you walk out on the beach and you're standing in the sand, you feel the sand between your toes, you feel the breeze, you hear the ocean waves, it's wonderful. And then, a couple days later, what happens? Well, now it's not just the sand between your toes, it's the sand in the car, and the sand in the condo, and the sand in the bathing suit, and it's just, you know, maybe instead of listening to the roar of the ocean, you're listening to the kids yelling at each other, or maybe you're the one yelling at the kids. Now, maybe instead of soaking up the sun, you're already sunburned because you didn't remember the suntan lotion and you're not going to take time to go back because you're on vacation and you got to use every minute of it. And pretty soon, you're weary of vacation. As a matter of fact, growing up in my house, we used to have a saying. We needed a vacation to recover from our vacation. It's where the phrase, you know, it's good to be home come from, right? I want to tell you another very adult story. When my wife and I got married, we moved into an apartment that had room for a full-size washer and dryer. Now, this was kind of a big deal because up until then, we'd lived in apartments, and you either had the communal area where you got to lug your laundry over and put the quarters in, or I was fortunate enough, I had a small apartment that had a little tiny washer and a little tiny dryer, and if I remember correctly, I believe it held exactly 2 shirts and a pair of pants every cycle. But now, we had a full-size washer and dryer. This is how excited we were. And my wife is here, so you can ask her. This is true. We stood on the balcony of our third-floor apartment and took pictures of the delivery truck bringing our washer and dryer. We watched them drag it up three flights of stairs, put it in. We had our laundry basket full and ready to go. We dumped the laundry in and we looked around. We're like, there's room for more. What else can we wash? We were excited to do laundry. The reason you're laughing is because you know exactly how long that excitement lasted. Right? Yeah, laundry isn't exciting anymore. As followers of Jesus, we can grow weary in doing good. You know, maybe you say yes to serving in kids' ministry. That's wonderful. And you love working with kids. And it's exciting. And you're pouring your heart into this one kid, only to find out that they're going to be gone for a couple of months because they play a sport that interferes with church. Maybe you volunteer to work with the teens. You know, you're getting through to them, you're connecting, and you find out one of the girls in your teen group is pregnant. It's real work. It can be hard. And you can get weary. Maybe you're one of the greeters who stands at the door with a friendly face. And you know every Sunday you're there. And one week somebody comes in who's having a real lousy week, doesn't really want to be at church, but had to come. And they say something nasty to you walking in. Or maybe you are serving with a food bank. You know, you feel like this is an opportunity to really do some good. And so you go and you serve the food bank and you're handing out food week or month after month. And, you know, then you start seeing the same faces coming through and you're wondering to yourself, you know, am I really helping? How can I help these people more? Because, you know, it doesn't seem like it's doing enough. And it starts to wear on you and you can grow weary. As we read these words from Paul to the church in Galatia, you know, he's writing to people that he loves and cares about. Galatia was the name of the Roman province in Paul's time that we now call Turkey. And Paul preached the gospel there on his first missionary journey, and you can read about that in Acts 13 and 14. But it wasn't long after Paul left that some new teachers kind of sprung up in the area and started teaching a different gospel. They started telling people, yeah, being a Christian's okay, but you got to start by being a Jew first. And once you convert to Judaism, then you can become a Christian, and then you're okay. And some of the people said, oh, well, you know, didn't hear that the first time, but yeah, it kind of makes sense. Okay, let's go with that. And others were like, well, no, Paul didn't say that. And so then there's contention, and people are in church trying to learn the truth, and it was a mess. And as we look at this particular example, you know, we don't know how long it went on, but we know that it was causing strife, and it was causing people to grow weary. And we know that because Paul writes to encourage them, and that's what you need when you're weary. You need encouragement. So Paul encourages them not to give up. And I want to encourage you in life and in your role in the church, whatever you're doing, when you're doing good, don't give up. So what is doing good? In Galatians 6:10, he says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are in the household of faith. So if you've been around Charter Oak Church for the last two and a half years, you've heard us talk about the six marks of a disciple. These are the six ways that demonstrate our engagement, which is our word for the year, as disciples of Jesus. One of those marks, it would be real easy to talk about, right? We could talk about being a humble servant and talk about doing good. But that would be easy. Let's look at something else. Let's look at community builders. We want to be people who gather regularly in each other's homes for Bible study, encouragement, accountability, learning, and sharing in life together. What could you do in 3 minutes as a community builder? Well, in 3 minutes, you could sign up for a group. You could make coffee for your group. Maybe you could make nachos for your group. You pray for somebody in your group. You could read the verse you're going to talk about in group. You could sit together as a group quietly for 3 minutes, listening for God's voice. You could even take time as a group to just spend 3 minutes, everybody grabs their phone and texts three friends they know some words of encouragement. What about devoted worshipers? This is another one of our marks of a disciple. We want to be people who are committed to worshiping God, people who can't get enough of him, people who long to gather corporately and alone daily in prayer and Bible study. Now, it's easy to think of worshiping as like the Sunday morning thing, but that's not biblical. Worship is supposed to be a lifestyle for each of us. So throughout our day, what could we do with 3 minutes as devoted worshipers? We could read a devotion while we eat breakfast, memorize a Bible verse, stay at the table for 3 minutes after you're done eating and talk to your family. Share where you've seen God at work in your life with somebody you know. Talk to your waiter or waitress for 3 minutes. Give them some words of encouragement. Pray with your kids before bed. Pray with your spouse before bed. Anytime we build up one another, I think we're doing the good that Paul is describing in Galatians 6. And I would argue that you can make a huge impact in 3 minutes. There's also a promise included here, and I always love looking at the promises of God. Galatians 6:9, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, don't get me wrong, Paul isn't saying that this is something you earn. It's not something that we even deserve. It's given to us by the grace of God as a result of our faithfulness to living the Jesus way. Here's another example. In Hebrews, it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set out before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Whatever your role in life or in the church, you're going to have peaks, you're going to have valleys, you're going to have stones, you're going to have thorns, you're going to have stumbling blocks. Satan's going to take every opportunity he can to encourage you to throw in the towel. But Paul and God encourage us to run the race with perseverance and to look at Jesus and how he handled it as an encouragement for us. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that when Jesus was facing his darkest time, he didn't give up. This is a word of encouragement for all of us. Husbands and dads, don't give up. Look, thank you so much for working so hard for your family at work. Back in the 70s, it was predicted that by the year 2000, computers would be doing so much of our work for us that we'd be killing ourselves trying to figure out what to do with all of our free time. Those of you who go to work every day, you have that problem, do you? The computers are doing too much and you don't have enough to do? Yeah, no, hadn't happened to me either. I just have more. So thank you for working as hard as you do, but remember your family needs you to be present at home too. You'd be amazed what a difference you can make with 3 minutes of wrestling with your kids on the floor, 3 minutes of talking to your kids, or even 3 minutes of listening to your kids. Your wives need you. You know, spend 3 minutes listening to them, encouraging them, thanking them for all they do. Your families need you to be present at home with them. They need you to bring them to worship every week. And wives and moms, whew, thank you for all that you do that nobody notices. Trust me, if you stopped, we would notice. But your kids also need to see you being silly, laughing with them, crying with them, playing with them. They need to hear from you, and they need you to hear from them. Your husbands need you to give them a word of encouragement. Let them know that you care about them, that you respect them, that you love them. Don't give up hope. When you're doing good, sometimes it might feel like you're not doing any good. But just at those times, God can take that moment and do amazing things with it, even if it's just 3 minutes. I wonder what could happen in 3 minutes in your life this week. 3 minutes of prayer, wrestling on the ground, silently sitting for listening to God's voice, staying at the dinner table, having an encouraging conversation with a neighbor. 3 minutes. Doesn't seem like a lot. But I think it's easy to see that the significance that God can make out of 3 minutes you offer is incredible. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. Look at Jesus who endured so much opposition so that you won't grow weak and weary and you won't lose heart. Persevere, my friends. And as you have opportunity, do good to everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have never given up on us. And God, we thank you that your Son, when he was in his darkest moments, didn't give up and took the cross in our place. Father, please take our lives and 3 minutes that we offer every day to you and make something significant of it. Help us to live our lives daily in a way that reflects the hope that you've given us. And we pray in Jesus' precious and matchless name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. Head over to our website, charteroak.church, for more information about who we are, what we believe, and more. You can also stay connected on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram. Join us next week as we look at week 2 of the series 3 and 3 days. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week, everyone.